We've been in a series called The Power of Words. That's the title of our series. And so far, what we've seen is that we're able to create a world by the words which we speak. We're able to, as God did, speak circumstances and situations that cause us to live in a world that we create with our own mouths. Consequences that we live in, consequences that we go through, the worlds in which we live are created because somewhere along the way we created it with words. Also, we saw that the dangers of murmuring and complaining are very, very large. What murmuring and complaining will always do is keep us in a wilderness area where we're not able to really experience all that God has for us. Now, I want to continue on with that particular thought as to what words will do for you and I, but also I want to expand it to show us what words that we speak can do for others. So today's title is called The Irrevocable Blessing. I want to call today's title The Irrevocable Blessing. There is a blessing that is within you that will bless others. And as you bring this word out, it will create a rudder, it will create a direction for someone's life or people's lives who which you have influence upon to take them to their success point. And God is depending on you and I to speak into the lives of people that we have influence upon to help them get direction for their own personal lives. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, what I want you to do, if you will, is turn in your Bibles, if you have them, and I hope you do, to James chapter 3, and also to Genesis chapter 27. Of course, we'll be looking at a whole lot more scriptures than that. They'll be on the screen. You're welcome to follow me along. It's just these are just available to you, so you can turn in your Bibles. I'd like you to look at these particular passages because that's the ones we'll really be working in. And while you're turning, I'm going to be praying, okay? Father, I ask you to bless us now. Father, I want to do an excellent job here. Father, I cannot do an excellent job, though, unless you anoint me, unless you, Lord, allow the spirit that's within me to come forth and communicate with the spirit that's within these people. Father, I want to relay to them the power of our words, the words that we speak, how powerful they are to set our destinies, to set the children, our children's destinies, to set our employees' destinies, to set the destinies of people that we influence, our friends' destinies. Father, I pray today that we will see, without doubt, how we can set destinies and make good lives, help people to enjoy good lives by the power of our words. Father, I ask you to bless us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, in James chapter 3 and verse 9, if you have your Bibles open there, it'll be on the screen for you as well. In the NIV version, it says this: with the tongue we praise. Now, if you have a King James Version Bible or maybe another type of Bible, it will say blessing. We bless. But in the NIV Bible, it says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. Notice that the tongue can both bless, praise, and curse. Men who have been made in God's likeness, and the King James Version says in the similitude. In other words, there is a drastic resemblance between God and man. And what we do is we bless one always, and then we curse another. And God says that's not good. What he really wants us to do is bless both. And then in verse 10, I use the King James Version here. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing. And if you have an NIV version there, it says praise. Out of the same mouth you praise. So what we're seeing here is that the NIV version changes the translation of blessing that the King James uses to praise in the NIV version. Blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not to be. So with the same mouth, we both bless and curse. Our words bless and curse. Now, it's wrong, of course, to curse anything. We know that. We know that what God wants us to do is both bless God and praise God, but also he wants us to bless people and praise people. Now, I want to make sure that we get this. Yeah, I want to say it. I'm going to work on here just a little while. What we really want to do is very similar or very like we praise God. We got to learn how to praise people. Now, I know that's a little foreign to us because we're not used and we don't think about praising people. But what God will always have is the highest praise. But that word there that we're looking at instructs us that we really ought to praise people. Now, what we really got to learn and we've got to see is if you read on down there, what I read to you was verses 9 and 10. If you read verses 11 and 12, you will find out that you actually cannot do both. You cannot praise God and curse people. That won't work. You can't do both because both fresh water and salt water will not come out of the same spring. You cannot do both. What you really do is you cancel out anything happening. And in fact, if anything happens, it will only become worse. We're going to talk about that. Now, this word that is used here, the word for cursing, does not mean four-letter words. It's not a word where you would curse or use profanity and cuss somebody. That's not what we're talking about here. What the word actually means is you wish bad for someone. What the word means is that you make someone belittled. You talk somebody down in the presence of others. You belittle people. You make a shadow come on the person. You judge them, or you condemn them, or you criticize them. And you make them look bad to other people. This is really what the word cursing actually means here. But now the word blessing, and that's the word that I really want to emphasize and look at, because this is the word that I want us to get a hold of, and this is where I want us to go, and I want your life to begin to be able to praise or bless people. The word there that the King James Bible translates bless, or the NIV Bible translates praise, is this word, and I want you to see it. It's eulogia. And what it means is praise. That's its primary meaning, praise. Primary meaning is not the word bless. The primary meaning is the word praise. That's why the NIV Bible uses it. It means praise, and then it means this. I like this. Polished language. It's praise. It's polished language. That's not tinted language. That's not dirty language. That's not rough language or coarse language. That's polished language. And so when we praise God, when we bless God, we give Him a praise with polished language. We give Him good language. We give Him language that's good and shiny and pure. And what God's saying to you and I today, when we learn how to really bless people, that we're going to give them polished language. We're going to give them good language. We're going to think about what we're saying. We're going to elevate people with our words. We're going to polish up what we say to them. And let me go ahead and say this while I'm on this particular point, because this is so crucial of understanding. A blessing is not a blessing, and a praise is not a praise until it is put into language. A blessing is not a blessing until it is spoken. A praise is not a praise until it is spoken. You will not bless your life or bless anyone else's life or praise your life or anyone else's life or bless or praise God or anything else until you put that into language. And then the word means, it means praise, it means polished language, and then it also means that it is an invocation of blessing, of benefit. An invocation of blessing. We invoke a blessing. We say it, we polish it, we invoke it. An invocation is the last thing we do. Make sure this gets done. Make sure that if you bless somebody, that you invoke a blessing upon them with polished language, with praise. And so as we begin to see what this word really means here, as we begin to see how we're really to praise God and bless God, this is how we also are to praise people, or bless people. And so we want to learn today, and this is what I really want to try to get a hold of, is that if we're going to understand how to live a great life and have a good life, if we're really going to have good days, if we're going to have a blessed life, then we've got to learn how to properly use our tongues. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says this. For whoever, how many whoevers do we have? For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. In other words, if you want to have a good life, and you want to have good days in your life, and you want to have a great, joyful, abundant life, then what you've got to learn how to do is control your tongue and use your tongue properly. And how do we bless God and praise God and curse people and expect God to bless us? Fresh water and salt water will not come out of the same spring. It will not happen. And what we've got to learn today, and what I'm trying to get across to us today, is that we can bless God and we can praise God. And if we'll learn today how to bless people and praise people, because out of the mouth comes both blessings and cursings, and we'll learn how to praise people, God will in turn bless our lives. He'll give us good days. We'll learn how to use our tongues correctly, and we'll experience the good things that God has for all of us. Amen? Amen. So you cannot bless and curse out of the same mouth. Let me show you how this works. Now, how many of you, when I'm talking about praising people, how many of you enjoy it? Say, for example, you're at work and you've had this job to do and you've done a great job on this and your employer or your supervisor or your boss comes to you and says, man, you did great. man, you know, I am so proud of you. You did really well. And they begin to praise you for the effort that you put forth and the abilities that you gave to that and how excellent you made that. And they begin to praise you about that. And then maybe they bless you, you know, with a little bonus or something. Now, how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? Does it energize you? Do you say, man, you know, wait till I get another shot at this. I'm going to do better next time than I did this time. You know, do you relate what I'm trying to say here? Now, let's put this into practicality. All right, you got a child. You got a child that's giving you difficulties. Now, you, out of your mouth, you speak into the supernatural like we've been talking about, and you declare that this child is going to behave, that this child is going to be successful, that this child is going to be obedient, and you begin to declare, and you start blessing that child with your words. But then you turn around, and you can start jumping on this child, and you tell this child, why can't you ever do anything right? Why are you so stupid? Why can't you be like your brother or your sister or your cousin? Why can't you be like somebody else? Now, what you've just done is you've both blessed and cursed out of the same mouth, and guess what's going to happen? Nothing, or even get worse. You have a marriage situation, and you want your marriage situation to get better. So in the supernatural dimension, you begin to bless it. You begin to pray about it. You begin to speak to it. You begin to declare that your wife or your husband is going to love you, and you're going to get along good, and you're going to have this great marriage. But then you turn around, and you begin to find faults with your spouse. You begin to talk about how dumb he is and how messed up she is, and the next thing you know is that you've got this situation getting worse and worse. What you've just done is both blessed and cursed, and guess what's going to happen? It's probably going to get worse. Am I good here? You have a business. You're a businessman. And you spoke into the supernatural. You've blessed it. You've said, I want this thing blessed. I want God to abundantly bless it. I want it to prosper. I want it to be a blessing for the community. I want it to be a blessing for my life. And then you turn around and you're mean to your employees. You won't let them off. You won't let them do what they need to do. And you start complaining. Why can't you do anything without me having to tell you? Why do you always act like this? Why are you laying out so much? And you start doing this and you start out of the same mouth. Blessings and cursings. Where now, if you were to change that around and find something to praise that child about that we were talking about a minute ago, you've got this child, and instead of blessing and cursing, and you were to change that around and find something positive that child did, that something that child could do really well, and you told that child, man, you are really great at this. You know, you find something. Yeah, there are some negative things, but there's got to be something good the kid does, right? There should be something. And so you find something good the kid does, and you begin to praise that kid over that good thing that child did. Now, what's that going to do to that child? See, it's going to encourage, he's going to energize that child, and he will do more and more good, and that goodness will begin to expand, and the next thing you know, you got a good child, because you've both blessed and blessed. All right? You got a marriage, and you got a spouse that's giving you fits. Well, instead of finding the faults of the spouse, you begin to find the good things the spouse does, and you begin to praise the spouse. You find an area in the spouse's life that this spouse does really, really well. Maybe she cooks good, or maybe he cuts the grass good. But you find something that the spouse does well, and you begin to praise that spouse, and you begin to tell that spouse how good that spouse does in this particular area. How's that spouse going to begin feeling? Are you getting this? You see what I'm saying? You've blessed and blessed. You haven't blessed and cursed. You've blessed and blessed. Now, the same mouth comes blessings and blessings. And God will take that situation and turn it around and start moving with that child or start moving with that relationship. And all of a sudden, you end up with something blessed of God. Same thing with the employees. You find something good that employee does. You start praising that employee. You start blessing that employee. And all of a sudden, that employee starts energizing and starts doing stuff better and better and better. And the next thing you know, you've turned a bad situation into a good situation because you've taken that employee and you've praised him. Yep. All right, now let's kick it up a notch. Okay. We in creation are created to respond to praise. Everything, and you can praise a dog, and the dog will respond. Come on, somebody, help me a little bit. Am I right? Creation responds to praise. Your body is sick. Hear me, please. Your body is sick. You've blessed it, you've blessed it, you've blessed it, then you turn around and you say, I'll never get my healing. I won't ever. No. You've just blessed and cursed. What you got to start doing is taking the Word of God and blessing your body, speaking the Word of God and blessing your body. Find something that your body does good. And say, body, you're good at this. I'm going to praise you. You do good at this body, and that's going to encourage you because all creation responds to praise. Finances. Having trouble with your finance. You speak into the supernatural. You bless your finance. You say, quote all these scriptures, and you bless it, bless it, bless it. Then you turn around, and you say, I'll never get out of debt. And your finances continually get worse. Well, fine. Bless it with the word of God, but then say, you know, praise God, at least I got the money to pay the bills. Yep. Find something to give your finances praise for. Well, praise God, I did get to go out to lunch this week. Well, praise God, you know. I did make the car payment. But find something, because everything is created to respond to praise. I don't care what's going on in your life. Find the praise. Don't bless it and then curse it. Bless it and bless it, and it will respond in a supernatural way. And all of a sudden, you'll find God moving in that thing. And that thing that was so bad will turn out to be so good. Amen. And it's not enough to just avoid saying something negative. You got to learn to put it into language. It's good to think praise. It's good to imagine it better. It's good to read about it in the Bible, how God wants you blessed and how God wants you healed and how God wants all these. It's good. All those things are good. But it's not blessing and it's not praise until it becomes polished language. Learn the power of your words. Your words have the ability for life and death. The Bible says the life and death are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There's a power in our words. And we've got to learn how to make a declaration, a proclamation, and to put it into polished words. Now, words give direction to life. In the Amplified Bible, in James chapter 3, you're right there, you should be. In James chapter 3, verse 4, look at this verse with me, and I'm reading out of the Amplified. Likewise, look at the ships, though they are so great and are driven by rough winds. How many of you have ever been through some rough winds, hurricanes in your life? Rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the impulse. I want to hit there just a second. A lot of times we hit rough winds because of impulsive words. Is that all right? We just say something. We don't think. We don't polish it. We don't shine it. We just spit it out there. Next thing you know, we've got this situation that we're having to get through. Impulse of the helmsman determines. And then verse 5 tells us exactly what James is talking about. He says, even so the tongue. See, the tongue is the rudder of your life. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it can boast great things. Your tongue, there is no limit to what your tongue can do. No matter how huge your life is, you're still directed by your words. Your tongue is the rudder. I don't care if you're the President of the United States of America. I don't care if you're the richest person in the world. Your tongue still is the rudder of your life. Your tongue, it can do great things, or see how much wood a forest, a tiny spark, can set ablaze. Your tongue can do great things, or your tongue can take you to destruction. Now let me kick it up a notch here. Bang! A little emerald alive there in case you... not only does your tongue direct your life, but it will direct the lives of the people that you relate to. Your tongue, the people that respond to you, your tongue will put a rudder on their lives or help establish the rudder of their lives. Our tongues are powerful. Our tongues are powerful. We can set the course of lives, of success or failure. We can set the course of lives of abundance, our lives of destruction, with our own tongues. Now, we as parents set the course of lives for our children. That's one of the main things that parents should do, is use their words to set the course. You heard mine talk a while ago about how his life was so set on course by words that his mother and I spoke to him. Our lives are set on course. That's one thing that our parents do. Another thing is, if you're an employer, you own a business, you're a businessman, then you, because of your relationship with those people and their relationship to you, you set the course for their lives. If you're a leader, if you're a boss, a supervisor or something, all of those people that relate to you in that capacity, God has given you the divine power and authority to set the course of their life. And what God wants all of us to hear today is that what God wants to do to every person is to bless them. He wants everybody's life set as best any of us can on a course so that they have an abundant life and a great life. That's one of our jobs as being Christ followers. Now, if you're not a leader, or you're not a parent, or you don't feel in any capacity like that, you still have a power, if you're a Christ follower, to use your words to bless people. You teenagers, and I want to talk to you teenagers just a second. Now, all teenagers will fall into this, but specifically and most importantly, or more regularly, do the girl teenagers fall into this category. We get around our friends, we get around our buddies, and the next thing you know is we're having girl talk, and you have girl talk, and the next thing you know is you're talking this negative stuff. You're talking about another friend or a boyfriend, and you put negative things in there, and you start saying cursings. You're asking God to bless your life. You're asking God to take you places so that you'll be successful. But the next thing you know is you're cursing. And out of your mouth is an attempt to come blessings and cursings. And all that's going to happen in your life is bad things. You start talking about your parents. You start talking about how dumb your parents are, how mean your parents are. And the next thing you know is you're hitting a hurricane because you've impulsively said something that's putting you through a storm. I want you to hear me. If you want a good life, teenager, whether you're a male or a female, if you want a good life, you find a way to only say good things. You find a way to, and if you can't say a good thing about somebody, don't say anything at all. Zip it up. Put your hand over your mouth like we talked about last week. Because all you're doing is causing storms for yourself. All you're doing is creating a world of woe and destruction and fire for your own life. Learn how important it is to speak blessings on everything. Let everything come out polished. Let everything come out as praise. Let everything come out as a blessing for the benefit of those that hear. And all of a sudden, you'll find your life on smooth sailing. You'll find your life going good. You're experiencing so many less storms. A lot more people like you. You don't have these mean phone calls and girls talking about you and boys talking about you. All of a sudden, life is leveled off and the hurricanes are past. And it's all because of the power of your words. Praise your parents. Praise your friends. Praise those that are around you. Praise your teachers. Come on. Right? Praise people. And learn the power of that. And how God will turn around and bless your life. Now, every person needs what the Bible calls the blessing. Would you say that back to me? The blessing. The blessing. Now, the blessing is when someone that we love and respect speaks into our life faith-filled words that direct our lives. Someone that we love and respect and we honor and that we think highly of, they speak into our life and they help us set the rudder for our lives. They give us what the Bible calls as the blessing. Now, in the Bible, they understood this. The people in the Bible understood this far more than we understand it today. They desired people, young people, children desired that their parents lay their hands on them and give them the blessing. Because it was the blessing that would set the course for their life, for prosperity, for health, for fulfillment, for doing all the things that God had planned for their life. It was determined by faith-filled words being spoken over them and setting the rudder for that life. And we're going to talk about one in a few minutes. They even would get in fights and arguments about the blessing. They weren't arguing about an inheritance. They weren't arguing about the family business. They weren't arguing about who got this piece of furniture when someone died. They were fighting and fussing about faith-filled words called the blessing, because the blessing determined far more than a piece of furniture or the family business or anything else would ever determine, because they understood the power of words. There's a powerful story in the book of Genesis. It's chapter 48. I know you're in 27. You stay in 27. I'll just tell you about this. But in chapter 48, it tells us about Joseph bringing his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, to Joseph's dad, who at this time, who was Jacob, but his name had been changed to Israel. He brings his two boys to Jacob, Israel, to be blessed. Now, what's interesting, as I began to look at this and see this, I saw something about Jacob that I had never really noticed before. Jacob had this uncanny understanding of the power of the blessing. He understood more than anybody in the Bible that I'm aware of how powerful faith-filled words were upon a person's life. He was Jacob. The word Jacob means trickster. It means supplanter. But his name was changed to Israel. Do you know how and when it was changed to Israel? He wrestled with an angel. Now listen, this fascinated me when I began to think about it. If an angel were to show up to me, I would not wrestle with this angel. That would be the last thing that I would think about, was wrestling with this angel. God sent a messenger, a heavenly messenger, to Jacob, and Jacob started this wrestling match with this angel. You remember the story? All right, you remember the story. He grabbed this angel, started wrestling with this angel all night long, the Bible says. And do you know what he said to this angel? I won't let you go until you bless me. Listen, there are some people in our lives that we got to grab a hold to them because they're a messenger for God to us, and we got to hold on to them, and we're going to say, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Because what happened to Jacob in this particular situation is it just didn't change him a little blessed. It changed his whole character. It changed his name. From Jacob, he became Israel. From trickster and supplanter, he became contender with God. Because an angel, a messenger from God, spoke faith-filled words over his life, and it changed the course of his life and changed his whole nature. See, words are powerful. And God will send each of us a messenger from God to speak faith-filled words into our life that will change our entire lives. Well, hallelujah! Jacob understood this. Jacob understood the power of the words, the power of faith-filled words and the blessing. Back to the story in Genesis chapter 48. Joseph brings his boys, Ephraim and Manasseh, to his dad, who now is Israel, who was Jacob, to be blessed. Now, remember that Israel had not seen these boys. Joseph had, of course, been raised in Egypt and had married in Egypt. And these boys had been raised in Egypt. And Israel had never seen these boys. And so he brings these boys into the presence of his dad. And I want you to see the first thing that came to Jacob's, Israel's mind when he saw these boys. And it should be one of the first things that come to your mind and my mind. Jacob asked, or Israel asked, who are they? And then in Genesis 48:9 it says, they are the sons of God, God has given me here. Joseph said to his father, then Israel said, bring them to me so I can what? So I can bless them. Jacob knew. He had firsthand experienced the power of words. He had understanding on the power of words. He said, let me speak into their futures. Let me speak into their lives. Let me set the rudder right now for these boys so that they can live prosperous and they can have the blessings from heaven. And here's a part of what he said in Genesis chapter 48, verse 16. He says, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May heaven bless these boys. May they be called by my name and by the names of my father. Now, these were influential people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. These were very rich, wealthy people. He said, can they have that name? Can they have that upon their lives? Can they have that blessing upon their lives? And may they increase greatly. May they have all kinds of abundance upon the earth. Now that's good, isn't it? You see, that was the first thing this man thought about when he saw those boys. I had the honor and the privilege to be in the delivery room when my grandchildren were born. Within the first 30 minutes, after they'd poked them, stuck them, cleaned them, wiped them, and all that stuff, I got to hold them. And the first thing I did was I walked around blessing those boys. God bless them. May the dew of heaven be upon their life. May they increase greatly. Lord God, may they be blessed of all kinds of ways. And I bless those boys' lives. And I continue to do that even today. Every time I see them, I get my hands on them. I bless them. I tell them how smart they are. I tell them how good they are. I praise them. I polish my words up. Man, I make them feel good. I make them feel good. I feel like I build their self-esteem up, their self-image up. And man, they can do anything. That's what we did with Lance. That's what we did with Bonnie. I'm telling you, this is how you set the course of a person's life. You do it with praise. You do it with polished language. You do it with invocation of a blessing, a benefit upon their lives. This is how you bless people. Amen? And so, back to the story here. Well, what happened? people so desired this blessing. Let me show you what... I did show you, didn't I? Let me show you how people fought for the blessing. We remember the story about Jacob and Esau. They would fight over this blessing. People would get in these situations. And in Genesis 27, which is where you should be, I hope, in your Bible, there is this wonderful story about this very thing that I'm talking about. In Genesis chapter 27, it talks about this very thing. And these two brothers, Jacob and Esau, Esau was the older. Jacob and Esau, they were always kind of at it. And Jacob had already tricked Esau into getting the birthright. Now, one day, Isaac, who is their father, says to Esau, "Esau, go hunting and get some venison. Get this venison fixed just like I like it, and I want you to come back and I'll give you my blessing." Let me show you this verse in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 4. "Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now, Isaac was old. Isaac couldn't see. Isaac was nearly blind. And so he told Esau, he says, "Go and get the food that I want." Now, their mother, Esau and Jacob's mother, Rebekah, Isaac's wife, overheard Isaac tell Esau to go hunting. And so she goes, and the Bible says this, that she loved Jacob more. Now, that's not right. But she loved Jacob more. And she went and she told Jacob, "Let's trick your dad so that he'll give you the blessing. You go get some goats. We'll fix the goats. We'll bring the goats and we'll fix it like he likes it. And you go in there and you'll get the blessing." Now, Jacob saw something. He already was getting this revelation of the power of words at this young age. Before he ever wrestled with that angel, he was getting this revelation about the power of the blessing and the power of words. And he said something so astounding that "I don't want anybody to go out of here. I don't care if you're a child or if you're a parent or if you'll one day be a parent or if you'll one day be a child. I don't want anybody to ever go out of here without getting this particular point." And it's in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 12. Now, I'm reading from, I don't know what version exactly I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's going to say something similar. "What if," he says, "my father touches me, I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." What Jacob is saying here is that my parents have the ability to curse my life or bless my life. My parents, what if Dad figures out that I'm tricking him, he's going to curse my life and I'm going to have to live the rest of my life under the curse. What if he figures this out? Parents, you got to understand, God has given you a divine power. Your words are just as powerful as Jacob's words or Isaac's words. Your words are just as powerful today as they were then. And you set the course for blessings or cursings for your child. You establish right now, at the age they are, the direction of life they go. And that establishes a rudder to get them through the hurricanes of life, to establish them into success. We parents, our parents, had a divine influence upon our lives to determine what we became in life. They set the course for our lives. Someone in everyone's life in here sets the course by words. By words. Words of blessing or words of cursing. And that's why God says, don't curse anything. Polish your words. Praise people. Whatever that you say to people, let it be of benefit. Invoke a blessing of benefit upon them.
Most children get their ideas about God from their parents, and specifically their dad. If children have a bad image of God, if the dad is critical and condemning and judgmental all the time, then that's the image that this child is going to have of God. But if the God is, if the parents are encouraging and blessing, and the parents are edifying and creating a great self-image and encourage this child that you can do anything that you want to and you can accomplish anything in life, then their image of God becomes that same thing of a God that loves me and wants me to do well. A God that wants to bless my life and has great things ahead for me. Our lives are so determined by our parents. And so that's why it's so important that parents understand what I'm trying to say today. We set the course, we set the rudder of the life of our children, or the life of our employees, or the life of our church members, by our tongues. The power of words. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying that you can't correct your children? That, you know, you can never correct your child, or correct a situation in your marriage, or correct a situation in your business, or correct a situation? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, if you begin to attack your child's self-image, then you're going to do damage that they're going to have to live with the rest of their life. It's a curse on their life. And they're going to have to deal with that. Some people today, adults, are still dealing with things their parents said to them when they were little. We develop them with our words. We set the course of life with our words. We need to bless them. We need to bless our grandkids. We need to bless them. We need to find praise to give them. We need to polish it up. We need to give them invocations and invoking of a blessing, a benefit upon their lives. Some of you, your children are grown and they live a distance away. Go home today, pick up the telephone, call them and say, I want to bless you. I want to tell you how much I love you. I want to tell you that I really believe in you and that you can do anything. You'll be surprised, even though they have become adults, what that will do in setting the course of goodness for that child. Don't miss an opportunity to bless. Miss every opportunity to curse. Back in the story of Genesis chapter 27 about Jacob and Esau, what Rebekah got Jacob to do was go put on some of Esau's clothes so he would smell like Esau. They took some hair off of the goats and glued it onto his hands and his neck so that when Jacob would feel him and touch him, that he would think that it was really Esau. That's a pretty hairy guy, huh? So, he took it, and he went in. And he said, who are you? And Isaac said, who are you? And he said, I am Jacob. I'm your firstborn. That was a lie. He said, I brought you this venison. That's a lie. And he says, I want my blessing. Let me show you this verse in Genesis chapter 27, verse 19. Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game. That's a lie. It's a goat. So that you may give me your blessing. Let me show you this from this passage. Children want our blessing. Esau's gone out hunting to get the blessing. Here's Jacob doing this trickery. A lot of the problems that we parents face with our children is because one is jealous of the other. They want you to bless them. They want you to praise them. They want your blessing, parent. There's something innate within each of us that responds to praise. And a lot of the times that siblings have this problem with one another is because we're not praising them equally. Rebekah liked Jacob. Isaac liked Esau. There was problems. But your kids want your blessing. You want your parents' blessing. I don't care how old my dad got or how old I always wanted dad to tell me how good I did. I always wanted mama to brag on me. Because something inside of us responds to praise. Everything in creation responds to praise. And then in 27 it says, this is what he blessed him with. He did. He finally convinced him that he was Esau. And so Isaac blessed him. And he says, may God give you of heaven's dew. May the spiritual things of heaven come upon you. And earth's riches. May the abundance of earth come upon you. Can you have the abundance of grain and new wine? May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. I want you to be a leader. I don't want you bowing to anybody. I want you to lead people. I want you to be a leader. I want you to go into places that God has for you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. Notice he spoke faith-filled words to him. He spoke words of future. He spoke words of destiny to this boy. And buddy, he lived them out. He became wealthy. He became blessed. He's Jacob. He's Israel. Because of faith-filled words, there was a nation. Still is a nation. There's power in our words. There's something so powerful. Well, the story goes on. And Esau comes back. And Esau has gotten the game and he's prepared the meal. And so now he comes to Isaac to get his blessing. So he walks into the tent. And he says, "Here I am, Dad. I've got the venison. I've fixed it like you like it. I want my blessing." Isaac says, "Who are you?" "I'm Esau. I went and got the stuff. I did what you told me to do." And then Isaac says something, by which we titled this lesson. But Isaac says something that we can't miss. You see, what we do to our children will never change. What we say to our children is irrevocable. And here's what he says in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 33. Isaac, and this, I'm reading here this from the New Living Bible. Isaac begins to tremble noticeably. The Bible says that Isaac trembled and Esau wept. "Then who is it who was just here with venison and I have already eaten it and looked at this, blessed him with what? Irrevocable blessing." When you say it, when you bless that child is blessed. When you set the course of that child, the course of that child is set. It is irrevocable. Esau said, Esau wept. He says, "Can't you get it back? Can't you give it back and give it to me where it's supposed to be?" And he says, "No, it's irrevocable. I can't do that. If I blessed him, he's blessed." Irrevocable blessings. Folks, you and I have the ability to put a blessing on our kids and set the course of their lives. "Oh, I wish my mom and dad had known this more. They did a pretty good job. But man, I wish they had known. I could have been president." Yep. Man, I'm telling you. Set the course of your children. Get your hands on them and bless them. Looking at John and Nora back there. Bonnie and I went and saw them right after the baby was born. And John, what was the very first thing I did when I got my hands on that baby? I blessed that baby. Because I understand that. Couple of hours old. Baby's blessed. Don't wait any longer, folks. Do it. Now let me kick it up a little bit more here. Bam. Husbands, your wife needs your blessing. She needs to know that you love her. I heard something the other day that fascinated me. Do you know that most women experience mental things, mental disorders, distress, depression, have mental breakdowns because they don't feel successful as being a wife, which makes them not feel successful as being mothers. And this causes a tremendous depression to come on them, even mental breakdowns, because they're not encouraged by their husbands. Their husbands never tell them they love them. Their husbands never encourage them. Their husbands never bless them. Their husbands never praise them. Husbands never polish words and give to them. Their husbands never benefit them and are invoking a blessing upon them. Listen, we've got to do better. A lot of marital problems are going on simply because we don't understand the blessing. We've got to learn the power of this. We've got to tell our husbands, we've got to tell our wives, "She's the best thing that ever happened to me. My wife is the best thing that ever happened to me. I would probably be dead if it wasn't for my wife. Somebody would probably kill me, but also the way I eat, the way I don't exercise, she makes me get out and cut grass. She makes me eat well, eat right. She's the best thing that ever happened to me." And you say, "Oh, Delbert, my wife knows I love her. I told her 42 years ago and we got married." No, she needs to know every day that you love her. Got it? Wives, you need to tell your husbands the same thing. You need to tell your husbands how much you love him, how much you appreciate him, how much he means to you and what he means in your life. He's laid down his life for you. He thinks about you every day. Everything he does, he goes through, he's thinking about you. I'll never forget this happened to me. It was a great thing, a great moment in my life. We're going to be a little bit longer today than normal, but just hang with me. This is good, okay? I went home one day from work, and I went home, and my wife sat me down, and she said, I want to tell you something. I don't know if she'd been reading a book, listening to a tape, listening to Joyce Myers. I don't know what she was doing. But she says, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you. She says, you have taken care of me. You have provided for me and our family. You have always taken care of us. You've always made sure that we've had whatever that we needed, whenever that we needed it. How do you think that made me feel? Baby, where do you want to go? Hawaii? Yeah, baby, we'll get a plane tomorrow. You want some new clothes? Hey, let's go. Because praise causes you to respond, right? And all of a sudden, you can take a bad situation, if you'll bless it the way Bible says to bless it, and turn it, slap around. You'll turn it all the way around, and all of a sudden, you'll slap that thing around, and all of a sudden, you'll have a blessed life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you now, Bonnie had, we had just had Max, and I have a joke here, but I'm not going to tell you the joke today. I'll wait for the time. But anyway, we're running out of time. They've already come out and pointed at the clock to me. So I want to tell you, words either value a person or devalue. Okay. If you feel appreciated, it's because somebody has spoken words to you that valued you, that appreciated you. When we are depreciated, somebody has spoken to us words that devalue us. We value people by words that we speak. We appreciate them or we depreciate them by the words that we speak to people. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. Max had just been born. It was time to dedicate him. And Bonnie came to me and she says, Dad, I want you to use this passage when you dedicate Max. Now, I don't know if she just liked the passage or she had really heard from the Lord or whatever. And so I began to work on this passage and I want to close with this today. And we're going to do a couple of things here, a little bit unusual. But I really want to do this. I want to show you this. It's in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. And here's what God told Moses to tell Aaron, who had influence upon the people. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them. Do how? See, a blessing's not a blessing until it is put into language and said. A blessing does not bless anybody or appreciate anybody until it is put into language and is polished and it becomes across as the blessing. And then he says, so what do we say? Here's what we say. Number 624. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face, his favor, his goodness to come upon you, his grace, his goodness to come upon you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, a good life, good days. How do you do it? By saying it. How do you bless people? By saying it. How do you have a blessed life? By blessing people. You speak into your life, but you also speak into the lives of others, and it will absolutely change your life. You speak to mountains. You speak to seas. You speak to storms. But also you bless people. And if you will speak into the supernatural and bless it, and you speak into the natural and you bless it, you have had blessings and cursings. You've had blessings and blessings. And God will bless your life. Now, how many... I want to bless you today. Can I bless you today? I want to speak a blessing upon you. Some of you have had things going on in your life, all of your lives. You're still fighting with things that someone said a long time ago, a curse or something negative that someone said. How many will receive a blessing from me today? Would you receive a blessing from me today? I want you to bow your heads as I speak this blessing upon you. And I declare this to you. I declare in the name of Jesus that you are blessed with God's wisdom and you have clear direction for your life. I declare that you are blessed with creativity, with courage, with ability, and with abundance. I declare that you are blessed with a strong will, with self-control, and with self-discipline. I declare that you are blessed with a great family and good friends, with good health, and with faith
favor, and fulfillment. I declare that you are blessed with success, with supernatural strength, with promotion, and with divine protection. I declare that you are blessed with an obedient heart to God and with positive outlook on life. I declare that any curse that has ever been spoken over you or any negative or evil word that has ever come against you, I declare in the name of Jesus that that curse and negative word are broken right now. I declare that you are blessed in the city. You are blessed in the country. You are blessed when you go in. You are blessed when you come out. I declare that everything you put your hands to do is going to prosper and succeed. I declare that you are blessed today. And if you receive that blessing, give a shout to God. Hallelujah! Yeah! There is a power in our words. Amen! Now, here's how I want to end today, okay? We're going to be a little bit different. But I want you to, you got a kid here, you got a child in the back in another class, you go get them right now. I want families to huddle up. I want dads to bless their children and mamas to bless their children and dads to bless moms and moms to bless dads. And you huddle up with your families or your relatives or your brothers or your sisters. And you're looking around and you see somebody here that maybe doesn't have family. Maybe not with us. This is the first time. See if you can get them incorporated into your, connect with them. Get them in. But let's all get in there. You don't have to come back to your seats. Find you a corner. Find you a place. Any place you want to. And you get blessed today. And listen, here's what if you don't want to go get your kids, if you don't want to do that, you know, I mean, if you don't want to go get your kids, you want to go get your kids. But if you don't want to huddle up with somebody else and you're not comfortable with that, you come up here. I'll get one of the elders to come up here and bless you. Amen. But we want to go out of here blessed today. I want to help set your rudder. And I want to encourage you as you leave, because this is all I'm going to say. This is it. We're going to bless you today. But I want to encourage you today. I don't care. You go through life speaking blessings upon people. You go through life speaking faith-filled words at your workplace, at your business, at your friends, with your relatives, wherever you go. You find good things to say to people. Amen. Well, I bless you today. And we're going to bless each other. They're going to come up and sing one more song.